Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia Hotep Harbarigani, welcome to the Kidery Room. You have the Omega 7 in the house, live coming to you straight into the commercials, all the way into the session. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you, and thank you for joining us again for another one of our great segments. We're dealing with intuition. We've been working hard to give the family an opportunity to be a part of this segment. We ask that you get your names out of your ancestors and do join us this evening and be a part of the show. Now, if you are new to the room, we are ancestral worshipers, and I would not say worshipers, but I would say ancestral communers. We commune with our ancestors here in this room, ladies and gentlemen, and we'd like for you to be a part. And we'd like for you to also realize that today we are going to be covering topics that will probably interest you. And being a new person in this room, you definitely would want to go and get your ancestors' names of those loved ones who may have preceded you in death. And if you would like to call their names, you're welcome to do so. This is Omi, your advisor and your advocate. And I'm here to serve you. And would like for you to be a part of our program. And for those of you who are old comers and been a part of what we've been doing, I'd like to say thank you for staying the course with me. Thank you for being a part of what I've been doing. And thank you for supporting all of the great followers who've been following me and staying the course. We'd like to thank you. And we'd like to say that you're definitely welcome here. And we also like to say that keep on Twittering me and following me. That's a great thing. That's good. And if need be, you can also go out and check out some of my blogs and some of my materials that I have out there. It's called Our Stage up under Omienka 7. And also Lulu.com. You can find me there with some of my portrait books. You can purchase those if you're interested. You can also listen to them. They're available for you to try. Once again, we'd like to thank you, and we are so gracious. We're here to serve you. My tribe and I are here to serve you. We are Omega 7 in the tribe. And what you've been hearing in the past is the tribe that works with me. We have Baba, who works with me. We have Terrell. We have Matt Harvey. And each of those people have been so gracious to be a part of the rituals and helping us to get cleaned up and get prepared for our process for ushering in the ancestors. It is very important that we have those people because Omi cannot do it alone. No, it's not been a show all about Omi. It's a show where we have assistantship and we have leadership and we have internship with some of the young people. Terrell Garth is one of our interns who's been working very graciously with us. Matt Harvey is our elder in the group who gives us permission to speak periodically. And Baba, he is a master. He is a guru. He is also an expert in the study of of Islam. He has background in African spirituality. He is definitely the one who is the healer of the group as well. So you have beyond in front of you many, many talented people, myself as an advisor and a healer, and we bring messages to you for this purpose to help the family. So if you have families in the room, you want to get around, this is a family show. So we'd like to invite those families to be a part of what we're doing here, and we certainly like to let the families know that they can definitely come in the room. The children are welcome, because this show has been designed for the families by families. And as I indicated before, we are a tribe. We are a tribe. And I may have not told you this before, but going by the name of Omega 7 and a tribe, the 7 indicates going through 7 times, meaning completion. But I actually was raised in a tribe, and most of the people that are in our show are a part of the family. They are family members, and they are dedicated, and they're here, and they're part of the show. So I want you to always remember to raise them up in prayer, because Matt Harv is the young lady that we had prayed so desperately for that was near death. And when we raised the roof one day, myself and another minister, we raised the roof to bring her back, and we resurrected her and called her spirit back. She's healthy and strong now. She's the one that does the prayers. She's the one that gives me permission to speak. Matt Harvey is the one that is a strong person behind us. Matt Harvey is also my mother spirit. She's also my mother in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to pay homage to Matt Harvey today and give Matt Harvey something to say, because we are so gracious to have Matt Harvey with us to be a part, just to give us permission to speak every day. The audience who was praying with us and praying for us and Matt Harv would get out of the hospital and get better, I want to thank you for all of your prayers, because Matt Harv is that strong voice and that strong force behind each one of the tribe members, behind Jamel, myself, and Terrell. She is the strong force behind the wind beneath our wings, ladies and gentlemen. If we could not have brought her back in the flesh, then her spirit would have given us the anointing to go on. But I'm so gracious that we still have her here in the flesh. And I'd like for her to say a few words and also to offer up a prayer, because she's a prayer warrior and she's always ready to pray. And I'm going to see if Matt will give me permission to speak. Do I have permission to speak, Matt Harvey?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
And I'm going to bring you on to tell your own story, because this is testimony time, and we want to take a few minutes for you to tell your story and to give a prayer, thanking God for bringing you back, snatching you out of the hands of the annals of the history of the pages where you could have been written down as a memory, but you came back in the flesh. We thank God and praise God for Matt Harv.
Yes, I give honor and praises and thanks to God Almighty, because I tell you, God is good. God is real. He's real. You know, all you have to do is step out on faith, believe it, and faith is not just believing. Faith is knowing that you know God will do what you ask him for. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And you know something? I want to tell you something. That we cannot do anything, we can't do nothing without him. Without him, we are lost. So we have to put God first in our lives, and if we put him first in our lives, we can't fail. God is good, folks. God is good. And as we go into prayer, I want you all to just step out on faith, believing and knowing that God will deliver you and bring you from where you are to where you should be. And you know one thing, as I pray, I step out on faith, and I not only believe, I know that God hears my prayers. Pray with me, everybody. Our Father, we come today with bowed heads and humble hearts. We come thanking you for the many blessings that you have already bestowed upon us. We come asking you if you will continue to direct us and guide us in the right direction. Father, we woke up this morning with the help of you. We went to bed last night with your blessing upon us. Father, we can't make it without you, and we praise you, and we give you all honor, and we ask you if you would bless this audience today, Father, bless our listeners and help them to take in the knowledge and apply it to themselves and share with others. Father God, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for how you have done everything you've done for us, Father. We thank you. We just praise you because we couldn't make it without you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you. Amen and amen.
That was Matt Harvey, and that was the sound of her voice, strong and potent. God brought her back, whole, complete. He's able, ladies and gentlemen. He's able to take the sting out of death. He's able to snatch you from the fire. He's able to bring you back. He's able to heal you without allopathic medicine. He's able to allow you to stand again. I don't care if you had cancer. I don't care if you had some deadly disease. Matt Harvey was on her way out of here. At her age, we thought she would never return. But we knew if we stood on faith and called on the elders, and called on the ancestors, they would release her. And they released Matt Harv and brought her home to us. I take honor and praise in my mother today for the forces and how she brought me up. Because I know the force behind her is the reason that I'm able to stand before you today. And I give homage to her today. She was being rather modest about the fact that she was very sick. She was so sick, and she thought she couldn't do well. But one night, Minister Deborah and I prayed a prayer. We prayed a prayer that God would release her and bring her home. That God would take her off all forms of medication. She's free of medications today. And she's here to testify. Testifying in her own words. Ladies and gentlemen, send up a prayer for her. Thank God. And if you have any elders in your midst that are sick and ill and can't get well, let them tap in today. Because today is the day. They can, too, be healed. God is no respecter of person. What he's done for Matt Harv, he would like to do for you. I want to say that again. God is no respecter of person. What he's done for Matt Harv, he will do for you and your family. God is in the healing business. If you don't believe me, call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him to release those loved ones with AIDS, HIV, cancer. Call him up. Garcidosa, call him up. I don't care what you want to call it, call him up. Because God will honor your prayers. He said, if your word be in him and you be in his word, you can ask what you will. One day, Minister Deborah and I decided to take God up on that. And God said, if we decree a thing, and if we remind him of his blessings, and if we commanded him that he would hear us, I'm telling you to command God today, too. If you have a loved one that is slipping away from you in the spirit, call him back. If God is not finished with you, Matt Harv, God wasn't finished with Matt Harv yet. There was still work to do here. She's able to minister on this airways now. There was great work for her to do. God wasn't ready to allow her to let the devil take her and let her slip through this earth. And as you listen, ladies and gentlemen, to Matt Harv tell her story. She was very sick, and we didn't think she could get well. Now that she's back, God is going to use her in a special way. He's going to use her to draw those who need to be healed in a special way. Healing is in the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. Stand to your feet. We are now ready to do our purification. Stand to your feet. Purification is in order. Purification is in order, ladies and gentlemen. If you will stand to your feet, take out your list of names, we are now ready to be purified. Today I'm going to have Terrell, our previous initiate. He's an intern. He's standing in for Baba. Is the purification ready?
Yes, it is.
Purification is ready? Will you please purify me, Baba? As the water hits the floor, ladies and gentlemen, as the water hits the floor, pour, ladies and my hands. As the water hits the pour, ladies and gentlemen, the water has to come, and I purify myself. We know that we pour the water to the east, to the west, we pour libations to the east, we pour libations to the west, we pour libations to the north, and we pour libations to the south. The ground is now holy where the water has dropped. Is purification complete?
Yes.
Thank you for the purification. Now we're going to have a prayer by our minister. We're going to have a short prayer, then we'll go right into.
Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for this blessed day and all of our ancestors and our abundant ancestors that have paved the way for us to be here today in this civilization. And I want to give all praises to God, and I pray that everybody is having a safe life and living a life righteous. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, you are standing on holy ground. And at this very moment, purification has already been complete, and the ancestors are in the process of being summoned. You may summon your ancestors too at this very moment. Remember, we ring a bell to summon them. Calling on each one of our ancestors to be present here with us today. You don't have to be bashful. If you have a loved one that you grieved over, you want to especially make sure you shout out their name. And this session is prepared for the family. We like to call on the name of Booker T. Washington, and we say, Ashe. We're to call on the name of George Washington Carver, saying, Ashe. W.E.B. Du Bois, Ashe. Like to call on the name of Scott Joplin, Ashe. Rosa Parks, Ashe. Like to call on the name of Mary McLeod Bethune, Ashe. Call on the name of Malcolm X, Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Ashe. Madam C. J. Walker, Ashe. Langston Hugh, Ashe. Leontine Price, Ashe. Louis Armstrong, Ashe. Dr. Ben Yorkin, Ashe. I'd like to call on the name of Dr. John Henry Clark, Ashe. I'd like to call on the name of George Washington Carver, and I say Ashe. Now is the time, ladies and gentlemen, that you can pick out that list of your loved ones and call their name. I'd like to call on Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Clara Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Marvin Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. I like to call on Ruby Brackett, Ashe. Clifford Brackett, Ashe. I like to call on the name of Isa Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. I like to call on Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Topper Pete Harvey, Ashe. I like to call on Shane Lilly, Ashe. I like to call on Michelle Harvey, Ashe. So be it, ladies and gentlemen. So let it be done. Ancestors, you are welcome here today. May we climb over your back. May we stand up on your shoulders. May we be a part of your life. Please come and reconnect yourself back to us today. Please allow us to sit with you. Ancestors, you are welcome here today. Your spirit is being summoned here today. We ask that you would be a part of this segment and allow us to tap into your energy. Allow us to tap into your spirit. Allow us to get the healing we need today. Allow us today to
be a part of you. The bloodline is what we're calling today. When blood calls, blood answers. We're calling you, ancestors. Oh, Nana Fidesz, we're calling you today. We're calling you, Eli. We want you to come and make the family strong. Only you can make the family strong. As we call on you today, put the family back together. Reunite the families that are gone astray. Bring the husbands home. Bring the mothers back into subjection of being mothers again. Heal the children. Heal the household, ancestors. Do a mighty work today. A work that we, with our own hands, are not capable of doing. And we will give you all the praise and honor. And we magnify you. And oh, how we love you. And oh, how we give thanks for you. It is because of your loins that we were birthed and we sprung through. And because we are the sum total of why you came, help us to be adequate ancestors. Help us to be available to you. And help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear your voice. When we hear your voice, let us know the voice of the ancestors. Can you hear it?
Can you hear it? Arranged by the author, Sherelle Omiika Bidiako-Garth. I beget this while in the spirit so that you could hear it. Don't fear it. Come and hear it. Pull back the veil and revere it. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Oh, and if you hear them, don't fear them. Just remember and revere them. Create a sanctuary like to Mary. I mean with memories of their old souls, of deceased loved ones, foretold. Pay homage by pouring libation, for this was done since the time of creation. It's your only source of real liberation. Listen, can you hear them? Listen, can you hear them? For if you can't, then keep on trying. For all around us, I can hear them crying, petitioning on your behalf before the Creator brings his wrath. For they never really left us, for they have been with us and remain behind to comfort us in our hard times. Listen, can you hear them? Listen, can you hear them? For they will surround you like fire when the fire draws near. So have no fear. Remember that the way is open and clear to assist you in, my dear.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the way is open and clear now. You've just now completed the talking cure. I hope you tapped in at an applicable time to get what you're needing, to get what you have to come for your family. I hope you tapped in. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. And you know it is the power of faith that keeps us going and gives us the strength. We're going to tap into the power of faith. Join me now as I listen to the power of faith. Got to go and pay some bills, taking a station identification.
From the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in a heart when it seems that our lives are falling apart? Dreams from the night. Thank you.
Gentlemen, our faith is strong. It is our ancestor's song, and we are going to sing it and make sure we portray the ancestors in a good manner. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome you back to the Omiika session, well, to the Care to Read room, and to Omi's 7 room. Now, once again, your number you want to lock in is 646-478-0270. Lock that dial in and keep it right there. Keep it right there, I said. Keep it right there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for joining us. And our topic this evening, how to develop your natural intuition, and are there really ghosts among us? Now, I'd like to feature a book. The book that was written is by Mr. Bill Comer, entitled Ghosts Among Us. Now, this is the 7th segment of the show, and ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to bring in ghosts for the benefit of those who are spooky and who have been believing in ghosts. The term that the African-American have always used is not ghosts. We've used the word haints, a familiar spirit hanging around called haints, but not ghosts. And we didn't want those hanging spirits hanging around called haints, because they were hagging and nagging at us. But literally, we tolerated them. We weren't running up and down the stairs howling ghosts, but we talked about haints among our elders, and our elders periodically told us about haints coming back into our lives to visit us, maybe even to discipline us, or maybe even to chasten us. But as far as African Americans being spooked by ghosts, we have been so spooked out of our mind by other races about the ghost that we even now have it in our church, the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to speak on the Holy Ghost because I'm going to talk about it here today. We've had a serious, serious problem with that Trinity, speaking of Mary not being a part of it. We've had a serious problem of being God and Jesus. But nobody really knows who the ghost is. But we're going to talk about it today. Absent from the body is to be present in the spirit. So if it's a spirit, what kind of spirit is it? Is it a haint? Is it a ghost? And why do we call it the Holy Spirit? And why, when we go over to Egypt, we look on the wall at the Trinity and we see Heru, Horus, and Aset. Heru, Horus, or Isis, or Aset. We see the Trinity being made up of the Mother, the Father, and the Son. What we have today, ladies and gentlemen, is a digression of racial issues of women being present in the Trinity. Therefore, there was no description for the woman, so a ghost substituted. Once again, I want to say this. Africans have been always spooked during slavery. A ghost, a spook, or something is going to come back. So in order to train us like little children, to keep us afraid, ghosts were always presented to us. But do we believe in ghosts as Africans? Do we believe they exist? Unfamiliar spirits, but not necessarily ghosts. And getting back to that Trinity, when you got someone jumping up and down, getting the spirit, slayed in the spirit, drunk in the spirit, walking in the spirit, talking in the spirit in the church, it's all right. People accept it. The Holy Ghost got them. Girl, did you see Big Mama last night? She went flying across that floor. She had the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? And what does this ghost do when it get in us? And what does it do to make us so drunk and out of our mind? And where did this ghost come from, and who summons this ghost? Let's get it straight, ladies and gentlemen. In the church, we are putting ourselves in a trance. Now, I want to make some correction so you can get it right this time. There's no ghost chasing you around the room, frightening you. You are slaying yourself in the spirit, allowing God to make his presence known in you. You are allowing yourself to be possessed by God's spirit. That is not a ghost. And we shouldn't call it a ghost. Ghosts are unfamiliar spirits. They're dangerous, and you don't want to play around with that. But when we know which ghost or manner of ghost or entity of spirit is possessing us, and we willingly go into a possession and can bring ourselves out, that's different. But if you want to keep children in order and you want to tell them if they don't be good, the boogeyman is going to get them. That's sort of like how the slave master had us slaves. The ghost is going to get you if you don't behave. The boogeyman is going to get you if you don't behave. Let's grow up. There is no boogeyman or ghost. Now, unfamiliar spirits, that's another thing. But if we know the familiar spirit is God that we are pressing forward in our life so that we can be slayed in the spirit by a familiar spirit that we acknowledge, like Obatala, Shango, Alegba, Yamenja, Ishun. We know their nature. We know what they look like. So when they come pressing forward and they're red and black, we know Shango is on the scene and he's ready to do his thing. And then when they come through all dressed in white, laid back, calm and collective and cool, we know that's Obatala. Coming in cool and calm and collected, not moved by anything. He's sure when he does his trickery. He's making a decision to help you judge right from wrong. We know all those familiar spirits. So then why are we not talking about those spirits in the church? What is wrong with our African ministers that they don't know nothing about their heritage, that they have to preach about a ghost, and they can't tell the congregation who these spirits are and who these deities are? They're ours. Let us examine them for ourselves. We want to do it for ourselves, Europeans. We don't want you to tell us anymore like little children that these are ghosts, that these will get you, that this juju is perverted, and that you demonize our deities. Ministers, and I'm a minister myself, we should be ashamed that we didn't examine these deities for ourselves. We shouldn't have had to go to Brazil to see someone possessed and wonder what are they doing and why are they falling all over the floor and why are they dancing all night, to only remember that back in the States, in the congregations, there are sisters and brothers dancing to the same tune, to the same beat. The rhythm and the heartbeat is the same. It is no different because they don't know what is possessing them. But over in Brazil, they know that they're trying to get possessed, and they know who the possession is, who they're trying to press forward. Now, let us make it plain and get it clear in our own mind, Africans.
Possession is good. You cannot become a priest unless you are possessed. You have to be possessed at one time. And don't tell me you don't know nothing about that, because I know sister girl and mother watches have all been dancing in that church, the holy dance, because I've done it myself and have become very good at it, and I know some of you have too. And when it gets so good and the high comes up on you so strong that you're fellowshipping in the spirit, that you get so into it that you're about to faint and fall out, but you don't run into anything because the Holy Spirit guides you and protects you, because he's the one driving you. You know that spirit. That may be a Bartholoth. That may be a Legba. But you have to know who these deities are. So why can't we examine our own stuff in the presence of our churches? Have we been hoodwinked? Have we been given a message to priests? Or do we know that we are to incorporate our African rituals and traditions into our churches and not allow our members to talk about ghosts? I'm so scared that ghost gonna come back and visit me tomorrow. I just don't know what to do. Pastor ain't told me what to do about him yet. He comes in every time about 5 o'clock in the evening, and I sit in that rocking chair, watch that rocking chair just rocking. I don't know what the pastor gonna do, but I'm gonna pray on the child. Pray with me. Pray with me. No, don't pray with you. Come into consciousness and stop being a little child. When I was a child, I thought as a child. Now that I'm a woman, I put away the things of a childish child. I no longer believe those things. No, there's no ghosts running around in the church. Nobody falling on the floor, foaming at the mouth, out of control, because the spirit is always in control. And the spirit knows what it's doing, and it press, we call the spirit forth. Based on the conditions and the problems in our community, we call that spirit forth. So it speaks to the congregation, tells the congregation, I know you got a problem here. No job for your people. I know your young men want to be heroes, so they're taking up arms, going underground, developing their own jobs. I know you got a problem here. Obatala can solve it. Pay homage to Obatala. Acknowledge Obatala. I know you got a problem here with your men. There's 7-to-1 women and not enough men to go around. I know you got a problem. Look into your traditional heritage about polygamy. This could help you solve it. See, the message that they bring forth is a message for the community. Then there's also individual messages. As we say in the church, girl, it's better to prophesy than it is to speak in tongues. I don't care if I never speak in tongues. If I prophesy, it's better to prophesy, because that's what it says in the scriptures. Now, here's the argument that's going back and forth about which gift is the best, prophesying or speaking in tongues? Prophesying or speaking in tongues? Here we fight and argue over the gifts in the church. Speaking in tongues and prophesying and this and that. But then when the Holy Ghost comes, don't nobody have no conversation about what this thing is that got me spinning around the floor, and I'm doing a juke jerk dance, and I'm all over the place, and I'm dancing like I'm ice skating. Nobody has a message for this. Pastors can't even research it to tell us where it comes from, the origin of it. Where's the origin, Pastor? Can you tell me why I feel so good when the music starts playing and the drums start moving and I start jerking and my neck starts jerking and I can't control it? No, because Pastor hasn't looked into the African traditional heritage of where the rituals come from and where they originated from in the Kemetic Institute. And so we go on calling it ghosts, frightened to death by such a ghost that we neither speak of it nor talk about it. But I'm going to talk about it today for you, ladies and gentlemen. No African Americans should not believe in ghosts. We've been spooked out of our mind all of our lives. We've been hoodwinked, and we've been brought through the annals of the slave ship and told that if we turn around and rebel, that heaven is going to open up and God is going to kill us all, and the ghost is going to come to follow that. Children's play, I say.
You can wake up today, ladies and gentlemen, you're not a child anymore. You can wake up and you can ask the pastor, Pastor, can you just tell me who is the Holy Ghost? Look him flat dead in the eyes and ask him, can you preach a scripture on that? Can you give me a scripture to follow up with that ghost? And, you know, what does this ghost do in my life? And, oh, the Holy Ghost gives you the ability to go higher. And the Holy Ghost gives you the ability to get the things you need in your life. And the Holy Ghost gives you the ability to walk around proud and arrogant and gives you the ability to feel bold before the throne. Now, great. But who is this person? Who is the character of the Holy Ghost? How does the Holy Ghost get invoked? Who invokes the Holy Ghost? Is it because of the pastor preaching the high and low notes, bringing you up and down and swaying you all around with his words and you just all over the place and you have no control? Who is controlling you? What fixation do you have on you? Are you being mesmerized? Are you being put under a trance? Yes, I say. You're going into a trance. And it's an order for the Africans. Because I did something in this room called Bembe. We danced all night. We praised and worshiped all night. Drunk in the spirit. Hoping that the Holy Ghost would show up to give us a message for the community. To give us a word. And it did. And the word came back, call for the mourning women. Call for the mourning women. Call for the mourning women. They can get a prayer through. Call them because they're pregnant with destiny. But they can't bring forth birth. They're pregnant with a message of atonement. The Bembe that we did brought forth the Holy Ghost, brought forth, slayed in the spirit, and brought forth a message. That is the purpose. You want to be slayed in the spirit. And when you say you're getting the Holy Ghost, you are going into a trance. You're putting yourself into a trance. And when you put yourself into a trance, any one of the seven deities could show up. Yamanja, the mother spirit, who speaks lovingly to the child, who nurtures the family. Or you could have Alegba, Obatala, and all of his wisdom, awareness. This is good that you should know the origin of your heritage and your tradition. Don't go any further fooling yourself about a ghost that lurks within somewhere in outer space coming to get you in a white casket outfit. You running around the room, you try to hide from the ghost because he's trying to get you, and you turning all around and say, oh, that ghost is back again, that ghost is back again. Yes, and you acting just like a little child because you running from it. Because you are not in the spirit. You're dealing with some unfamiliar spirit, and that is not of God. If that hate is running around the room and he's out of control, he has not been put to rest, that is because of something that he needs to solve in a family that he hasn't solved. He is not from the Holy Ghost. He is not from a trance that you put yourself in where the deities are coming to give you a message. The reason why you get slain in the spirit is to get a message for the community or for your personal agenda and your personal life. Now, I'm going to make it plain to you. For he that readeth it on the wall, let him run with it. And I didn't say let the Holy Ghost run with it. I said let him run with it. We got to stop being children and childish. The church has taken us and slung us every which way but loose. And, brother, we are swinging it in the church today. Because you got brothers in there with the hip-hop and they're carrying on. And you got the new breed of singing rap songs in the church. It's all right. I love it. I'm down with it. I'm down for it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not against it. I'm all for it. But you have to know the truth. If you really want to make change in the community, then you have to press forth the deities. You have to allow them to show up in you, not just your aureole and your head, but all the deities to show up because your very problem in the community presses them forward. They are called by you based on the problems that we are experiencing in the community. What you're experiencing with these young guys and their music, they're trying to press for those various deities to talk about the injustice in their community, to talk about the problem. So what you see is Shango and Obatala, they're showing up and showing out because they're the only one that are perpetuating a spirit to come forth to bring about a spokesperson. They've got spiritual. Two joints now. When you go in there with the drums and you get drunk in the spirit. And the spirit will show up. And the spirit has showed up. And these young people are right there dancing to the drums and the beat and the congo. And they're invoking the spirit. They're calling forth the spirit. Come on, spirit. You can do it. Come on. Bring the word to us. And they're invoking them. And that's the very thing that should be happening in the churches. And not all the sanctimonious dancing and jumping around, not knowing what you're doing, flipping over chairs, and mother so-and-so, get ready to fight. Go get mother so-and-so. She's about to fall out. And we go home and brag about that. Didn't mother so-and-so show whoop it up today? She was all over the place. She was saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. What ghost are we talking about? Which ghost are we talking about? Don't get it twisted. Your African ancestors had deities, and they knew which matter of man they were dealing with. They weren't confused. They weren't the bush people like they led you to believe. They were knowledgeable. They knew every deity that they were calling upon, and they knew for what reason they were calling upon that deity. They were not out of their minds, and I'm going to tell you to get in your right mind. Study the deities and understand what they do. Have a bimbe at your house one day and invoke the spirit and allow the spirit to speak through you to tell you what it is that you need for your household. Dance all night if you have to. Go and find the videotapes. Go and find the videotapes that will show you about the Brazil bimbes and that will show you how the spirit acts. That spirit is showing up and acting out all the time, not bringing forth any information that's positive, not showing you direction for your community, then you know something is wrong. Then that definitely is not a good spirit. And you don't want to fool with no spirit that shows up and you have no claim to where he came from. You want to have control of the spirit. And you want to make sure that spirit is tame. As far as goats and hanks, ladies and gentlemen, it relates back to our rituals and our traditions. Dancing in the spirit is all good. It relates back to our orishas, orisha communing, and orisha worshiping, orisha dancing, orisha chanting. You ought to try it. It's a beautiful thing. You definitely ought to try it in the church. There should be a moment where every African learn about the various different orisha dances. There's a song to go with every one. And a chant. So we're all harmoniously at least stomping at the same time, getting our grip together, singing our chants together, making a difference because we're pressing forth Yamenja. So we sing to Yamenja, calling her forth on one accord. Her spirit shows up. We're not surprised. We're not running behind our mother's dress tail saying, who is a ghost up in here? Somebody about to get dealt with today. Oh, boy, what did you do? What did the baby do? So we're standing up in here, and we know which manner of deity we're pressing forward, so we identify with Yamenja. We know the delicacy of the motherhood and the love that she brings, so we're not surprised. We're not baffled, or we're not frightened like little children. Then we then begin to acknowledge Yamenja. Her spirit is in the house. So you got mothers walking all over the place, virtuous women, injecting and projecting themselves like Yamenja. Good spirits, ladies and gentlemen. Good spirit. Nothing wrong with it. But it's a bad spirit when you allow something to come in the house and you don't know what it is. And you can't deal with it. You can't control it. Spirit needs to be controlled. It needs to be contained. It cannot be jumping all out of place and over the banisters and up in the pulpit and jerking around in the hallway, running up and down the aisle. That is out of control. And if you tell me that spirit, I want you to tell me the origin of it. Give you a little homework, ladies and gentlemen. Do some homework invoking of the spirit. Put in a trance, lay in the spirit, research it. See where the origin is. Understand what it is meant to do. And why is there a message being given to the congregation by the spirit? Because the spirit has been invoked because of the conditions and the problems that exist in our community. And they will show up. Sometimes they will show out and tear up things. Are they supposed to tear up the church because we're in such a bad condition? Are you going to let them tear down the pulpit?
Are you going to control them? Are you going to teach your people well about the origins of African spirituality or religion sprung up out of Africa? Every denomination, I don't care what you want to call it, sprung up out of Africa. It's the rededication of the originality. It's a counterfeit. Whatever sprung up is a counterfeit now. It cannot be the authentic thing because the authentic religion is African spiritualist. All religion came up out of Africa. Go back to your origin for the definition and the purpose of a thing. What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? Is your homework assignment. What is the purpose, Pastor, of the Holy Ghost? Sherelle said we should be researching this to find out why do we have the Holy Ghost, and is it here to do anything for us other than give us the ability to be bold, to have power? How much more power? Well, we got a measure of faith already. What do we want to do with the Holy Ghost? And how do we set the Holy Ghost down when we're done with the Holy Ghost? And do we control the Holy Ghost? See, all of that you need to know. Because when you want to turn off the Holy Ghost and it's time for y'all to go home, it's 10 o'clock at night, y'all been in there dancing and sweating all night, and y'all can't control the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost still want to jump around, and y'all trying to get out the door. Holy Ghost pulling y'all back. You need to control it. You need to be able to know when to cut it off. So you need to know Obasala. You need to know Shango. You need to know Ishun. You need to know Legba. You need to know all of these deities and their ability and what they can do. And you need to know their character. You need to pay homage to them. You need to feed them and set a table for them and acknowledge them so they can be self-contained and they'll be harmonious with you. You need to know these things, ladies and gentlemen. It's your heritage. Don't be ashamed of it. You're African, aren't you? It's your heritage. You have a right to know. Don't let nobody fool you and trick you and get you in church and tell you, now that you're enjoying the church, you want to take the right hand of fellowship, child. You're in the church now. You're not joining the army of the women who are standing on the front line. Know what you're representing. Know what it is you're joking around. That's why you can't get the husbands to come to church. There's so many women joking around, running around like they're lost in nine, and the husbands trying to figure out, what did I miss? What is she up there on the stage? What is wrong with her legs up in the air? What's going on? What's the Holy Ghost? Now you got the brothers asking, what is the Holy Ghost? Take some time. Go to your preachers and say, we need a sermon on the Holy Ghost and what it's supposed to do for us. Yes, I know when we pray and it's going to get us higher, and I know it's going to give us ability, but what is the Holy Ghost when you need the Holy Ghost to tell you something, to speak to you? When does the Holy Ghost actually speak to you? And how do you answer the Holy Ghost? Now, so much for the ghost. I want to tell you, church jumping, hopping sisters who are probably mad with me. Now, you're probably mad with me. You probably say, Omi, why don't you shut up? I'm going to tell you something. Omi spent many years in church jumping around, not knowing the reason why. Doing the Holy Ghost dance, could do it better than most of them because I'm a dancer. So you know it was on. I was doing the dance, and I'm not ashamed to tell you. Didn't know what I was doing, just jumping around because the music sounded good, and boy, it'd be fitting in the disco because, see, I can still do the same moves. And you're doing it, too, and don't fool me. You're up in there doing the same disco steps that you do at the nightclubs. You got your drink and your two-step, and you're doing the same step, but you got to know why. What is it all about? And why is this ghost showing up? And why is he taking over? And why is he running things? What kind of powers does he have? Can you shut him down when it's time to go to bed? Or do he keep you up all night long and you're just so tired the next day because the Holy Ghost got a hold of you? Ladies and gentlemen, don't be no fool. Don't be no fool. It's okay to bring African spirituality in your African-American churches and talk about it. Let's talk about it today. It needs to be discussed because we got too many people doing too many things not knowing why. Now, is there a gift in getting the Holy Ghost? Or is the gift given to us without repentance? And we all are given gifts. Speaking of the gifts, we all are given gifts. We all are given a measure of faith. Whether you practice and develop your gifts is one thing. Is speaking in tongues important? Is it important to speak in tongues? I would if you speak in tongues than to prophesy. Now, prophesying is good. Prophesying is good, but prophesy with yourself. And don't be always talking about, well, God, did you have a word for me? Do you have a word for me?
and always let somebody tickle your ears. Be careful. People feel that they've got you trapped and control you when you're always looking for a word from them. Prophesy for yourself. Gifts are without repentance. We all have gifts. We all been given gifts. You have to develop your gifts. And us who are being stewards, and we all have been called to be stewards, that didn't mean we're called to be stupid in the church. Yes, periodically you want to help the church. Yes, periodically you want to get things done, and financially you want to give a little something. I don't think there's nowhere in the Bible that warns us about stewardship and being a good steward, because everybody does not have the aptitude to be a good steward. You have to be trained to manage money. And if you don't have control of filthy lucre and you don't have the ability to control it, it will get away from you. And so many young people get into church, might come in there halfway well-to-do, and they're thinking, now that I joined the church, I'm going to get rich because I'm going to give everything I own to the church. I'm going to step up front. And if they be calling on gifts and asking for you to give things, I'm going to take my coat off and I'm going to lay it on the altar and I'm going to give that too, because God can see what I did, and don't all these people see what I'm doing in here, and now I'm greater than God, and so I know a blessing coming to me. God is not asking for your coat. He ain't even asking for your money. He can give some money. Don't let people fool you telling you God wants your money and I'm going to bless you, not bring the money on. God is going to chastise a lot of us. A lot of us are going to be chastised about this thing called tithing. If our storehouses were keeping us these days, paying our taxes, feeding us, meeting all of our needs, then we can dump all the money in the world in the church. But when churches still see people's houses going up for foreclosure and still see people losing their jobs, they still see people's lives getting cut off, and they choose one or two, five or ten to bless, but yet they're taking care of the community, then that will tell you that these young people are going to get the message that I got to take care of home first. And that's what God wants you to do. Your church is not your home. Don't get it twisted. Even though some of us are in the church 7 days a week, don't know how to go home and take care of home. We have to draw the line. Preachers, you have to come to consciousness. If you don't have a guru, preachers, you might want to find one that can train you and bring you into the scheme of understanding ancient things, conscious things. As we go to church, we need to learn how to meditate. That is the most valuable thing you can teach a congregation, how to sit still with God, how to hear from God. And as they go into that supernatural trance and deep sub water, deep into consciousness, God fixes things for them. This is where the work is done. Whatever habit, whatever disability, whatever problem, that is where the work is done, in the silent peacefulness of subconsciousness, not where the ghosts are, not where the noise is, where you're doing nothing but deep breaths. Meditation needs to be taught in the church to help our people understand that what we do most of the time is in the subconscious mind. Most of our congregation don't know anything about the subconscious world. They don't know anything about the underworld and how God works with the spirit in the subconscious world. What you're doing is carrying out things in the natural all the time, but the spirit is dying. The spirit is dying. You need to speak to that spirit. And I didn't say speak to the Holy Ghost, because the lie that they told us, they took the women out. They didn't want the woman to have any part of the Trinity. And that's for another whole lesson, ladies and gentlemen. But the church has got to open up the book. They've got to find all the resources and reteach, re-educate it. Because when we were given the Bible at Constantine, we were given what Constantine wanted us to practice. The Bible and the church has not changed since Constantine. It's time for ministers to reevaluate, looking at who the ghost is, retraining our people to understand the ability for stewardship, understanding how we are grown-ups now, we are not children, we no longer need to be frightened out of our mind about ghosts. We don't have the slave master over us anymore. tricking us and telling us about the ghost. So why are we being told about the ghost in the church? What is the problem, people? Now is the time for the ministers to do their homework. What is it about these ancestors, and what is it about the deities that our people need to know about? That when we came over here on a slave ship, Master fought and killed us not to speak about it. What is it that we need to pass on to our children? Elders, you know about it. You know about the ancestors, and you know about how we prayed and paid homage to them and how we got the spirit during the night and we invoked them. You know all about it. Pass the baton, elders. Tell your children about it. It was spoke of on the slave ship. Excuse me. It was spoke of in the woods. It was spoke of behind closed doors. They tell me that some of the ancestors were so strong in the spirit that they could summon power that would stand up for them, that would allow them to lift up and fly away if necessary to their escape. They tell me some ancestors knew the chants, and they knew how to chant a power of the word, where they would chant and call on the spirit, and the spirit would show up with their chant. It was a very powerful thing, ladies and gentlemen. It was forbidden. You couldn't chant. You couldn't talk about no Holy Ghost. You couldn't bring about no spirit, because they didn't know who you were calling upon and what manner of spirit. And right now in the church, you still don't know. You're powerless. Don't tell me I got the Holy Ghost, so now I got the power. You got to know which power you're calling upon and which spirit you're liable to call upon anything up in the church. So, pastors, you got to do it right. You got to teach the people about their ancestral heritage and their ancient traditions of ancestral worshiping and of who the Trinity really is. A lot of you know that the stolen ball story off the wall of Egypt, you know the story. You've been to Egypt, and a lot of you have been taught well, but you're afraid to teach it to your congregation. But you know what? Congregations are learning it for themselves now. They don't have to have a preacher to teach them everything. But when they do learn it and they confront their elders, their deacons, and ministers, I wonder, will the ministers be ready to tell them exactly where the origin of the Holy Ghost came from, where the origin of the Holy Ghost derived from, and exactly what does the Holy Ghost do for you? I'm going to possess the Holy Ghost and allow it to possess me. Because as I go in the spirit, I want to be possessed. I want to be taken in the subconscious mind so I can see things in the spirit with them and correct the problems in my life while under the spirit. All of my poetry, blessed be Rana Nefer, who showed me how to go into meditation, all of my poetry has written while in the subconscious mind, allowing the subconscious mind to tap into the right side of the creative side of the brain while I was asleep. Most of you college students know about taking tests in a trance. You know about studying for tests in a trance. Whenever you go in a trance and fall asleep learning, you will maintain it. It will stay with you, and you can recall it. It's like a photographic memory. And I'm telling you this, ladies and gentlemen, because most scholars know about it. And I'm a scholar. You don't believe me? Check my transcript. It'll speak for itself. I didn't get that way because I was so smart and learned so much, but because I had to learn how to study and how to go into the deep trance to be able to remember and recall things. No, I wasn't always smart. I didn't even know my black self until I began to start to meditate and understand what a trance would do for you. That trance will help you recall things and bring all things to remembrance. And most professors know this. You can put yourself in a trance whilst talking to someone. Take yourself into another level. Don't let anybody guide you into a trance other than you are doing the trance for yourself. And nobody can't guide you in if they want to. Even a hypnotist has no business telling you, I'm going to take you into a trance. You take yourself into a trance. He may talk you into the trance, give you direction, but you take yourself there. And while you're there, you say deep merge into the spirit realm while the spirit corrects the errors and problems in your life. If you want to hit that 2 point and you can't seem to get it, you can't get above that rim, and you can't see yourself doing it, see yourself doing it, and then go into a trance. And watch yourself play basketball while in the trance and mastering what it is you're trying to do, getting that 2-pointers and hitting a 3. And then when you hit the 3, you wake up out of that dream and walk out on the court. You throw that ball, hit that 3, do the same thing you did in the spirit. What we do in the spirit, we manifest it in the natural. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Work out your solution. Dance it out. Work out your problems and your solutions while you're in that trance. And when you come up out of that trance, you'll be able to master that thing you were trying to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you this because you have an assignment, and your assignment is to talk to your minister about educating you about the consciousness of your ancestors and the consciousness about understanding a trance. Why are we getting slayed in the spirit? Why are we shouting in here? And why are we praising to the point of fainting? What is the purpose of it? And what does it do for us in our life? If he has truly been studying in the spirit, he probably has tapped into some of the teachings of the African ancient history. If not, and when I went to theology school, all they're teaching about is everybody else, St. John and St. Timothy, but nothing about African religion. It has been demonized. We need to go back and get it, capture it, revamp it, introduce it to our own African Americans so that they can see that this is where all religions from. Now, you know why I'm telling you that? There's some stolen legacies. And boy, if I had time, I could go into the Pythagoras theory. I can go into the Homer and tell you some of the things that have been stolen. And full credit has been given to people in the Greek mythology, full credit. And those ancestors who sat with these people and broke bread with them and taught them and trained them, passed information over to Homer about African spirituality and Greek consciousness and understanding all of these things. They passed this information on in the metaphysic world, where all learning was obtained in Egypt, where all of the masterminds went to gain their knowledge in Egypt. Not some of them, all of them. Homer, Pythagoras, Aristotle, went to get their teaching and training, but not one African was given homage for the knowledge that he passed on to these people. In fact, most of these people were tortured and crucified for even saying that an African taught them. It's in your history book. I don't need to tell you where to find it. You can go do a Google on it. It'll come up and tell you about who Pythagoras was and the theory of Pythagoras. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to get into that a little bit more so you can see where the stolen legacies are. And if Egypt was up for grabs, by golly, there was a lot of people stealing from Egypt who took credit for as much as they could, and they robbed the tombs, took everything they could to reinvent the story, even on down to the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. That story was reinvented. It was a borrowed story and reinvented and given to us poor Africans who wanted to worship so bad in the church and who wanted to do God's service by getting the Holy Ghost. It was even passed down to us incorrectly. And we take it and run with it and never ask where the origin of it derived and if we were part in creating the real definition of Holy Ghost. Now, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is just according to Omi. And I don't have to sanction anything because I don't think most of those ministers or any of those people out there are going to jump on me and tell me, can you prove it? Because show and tell is easy, and documents and information is plentiful, and it can be produced. We cannot hide things from our people anymore. We cannot lie to our people anymore. We must educate. We must fill in the gap and break the color line of our own people lying to each other and perpetuating heresy in the churches. We must do that. We can no longer sit in church and pass on heresy because someone told us how to do it. If we're educated enough, we must go and seek knowledge for ourselves. not perpetuate and pass on lies and heresy. Now, I'm a little disturbed because I'm on sabbatical from the churches. Yes, I'm a learned woman, and yes, I spent time in their theology schools, but I knew better. And I put up with it so long that I just got sick of sitting there myself, hearing it, knowing that there was something different, something better, and the origin of everything we were trying to reinvent was already created in our African heritage, but yet we had chose to bypass that for a second-class citizen ride. Are you taking a second-class citizen ride? Are you finding the authentic? The authenticity of a thing is very important. The origin of where something comes from is very important. But to desecrate African religion and to destroy the names of the African who passed on to Homer, Pythagoras, and all of these great Greek people, to desecrate them and to kill them, to keep them hushed up and shut up so that nobody would ever find out. Eventually, the truth will rise to the top. And as we watch the truth rise to the top, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, can you handle the truth? You can't handle the truth. I couldn't handle it. I denied everything they were saying and said, oh, that can't be true, until I decided to take some time in a sabbatical to research it for myself. Boy, did I have a rude awakening about a lot of things. And you're going to have the same rude awakening. I wonder, will you wake up now? I wonder, if I jog you, will you wake up from the anesthetism and come to your real senses with your pineal gland functioning so you remember who you were when you were once ancient people, great people. Not just the people in their down slides who were building the pyramid, but great people who gave us reasoning, who gave us trigonometry, who gave us algebra. That's why Omi knows a little few things about ancient history. As an Egyptologist student, I continue to study, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Get with Asha Kwesi, take some trips and learn firsthand, because I'm going to do that, so you can know more about where is the origin of Islam, where is the origin of Christianity, where did it come from? And why was it so demonized? Why was African religion demonized? And why were we forbidden to study it or to understand it? And why does it not exist in the 11 religions currently now when we go to theology school? Why don't we study it there? Why do we have to go off and study separately our own African traditional religion? Why? We're going to ask that question again, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back at this topic again tomorrow. And I implore you, ladies and gentlemen, don't stop at this point. The Holy Ghost is good, but it's not the ghost that you thought it was. It's a gentle, loving spirit. You can call on it any time, and it will come and pick you up and twirl you around and swing you around, and it'll swing you back and forth and rock you at night. The Holy Ghost is a good spirit, and I'm not talking about some strange fruit that shows up in the form of a ghost. Because Africans don't believe in ghosts, and we don't know anything about nothing but a hate. And a hate can't bother us because we say, get back, hate. Throw them back in that room. We tell it what to do. We take dominion, and we decree a thing and call out a thing. We're not fighting anymore. We're not children anymore. And we're not running around scaring our own selves, calling out ghosts and spook this and spook that. We've long been overcomers of that. The Holy Ghost gives you the ability to be bold, ladies and gentlemen. It gives you the ability to take a stand on things. It gives you the ability to speak truth. Get the Holy Ghost today. It's all right. And tell him that only sin, let your light shine on the world. And get the Holy Ghost, because it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is, when you know who is running the ghost show. The ghost show, tell them that the deities are running the ghost show. There's no such thing as a ghost that's going to control you and command you. You command that spirit. Tell it to shut up and sit down. Tell it when to come. But when you work with the deities are coming to do you good, not harm. They're coming to greet you, to lift you up and bring you through the occasion and bring you out strong and on top. So let the Holy Ghost take control of you today. Let him take full control of you today. But call on your ancestors, Eli. Call on your deities. Don't let some ghost show up that you don't know nothing about. And if the pastor tell you it's okay, you tell him the only said. Find out which ghost and man of man possesses your church and your dwellings. Find out which origin and where it comes from, because you must know. You simply must know. It's all right to test the spirit. Test the spirit and see if it be of God. And if it's not of God, then you know it is not one of the deities. The deities are okay to acknowledge, to call on, and when they show up, they have a message for you. They show up with gifts to give you a message and a time, and the ending time for solutions for our problems. That's why we press him and dance so hard, because we need an end-time solution for our problem. We work out our salvation in fear and trembling and in dancing, doing the bimbe, the bimbe, the bimbe, the bimbe. That's what we do, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's what it's all about. And if anybody want to know, you say, tell them you heard it from Omi. This is according to Omi. I didn't say it was according to some manual or mutilated book. I said according to Omi. There you have it. I'd like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for going all the way with me on this trip. I know Omi can be a trip sometime, but I wanted to take you on a trip and get into the ghost spirit today. This has been fun, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you'll join me back here tomorrow as we embark upon more intuition and how we're going to use our common sense and our real frame of mind and not be into somebody else's mind. We're going to get into that old mind. And Omi said so, okay? Tell Omi said, let your light shine on the world, okay? It's all right. We're going to go out of here with Ujima.
Revitalize.
Yes, yes, Ujima, Ujima. That's what Ujima is, the Black Family Pledge, ladies and gentlemen. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost our past, our ancestors cleared, kneeling in the perilous undergrowth. Our children cannot hear us when we're crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of being a mother and a father. Our befuddled children give birth to children they don't even recognize. They neither want nor understand. We've lost our minds, in other words, because we have forgotten how to law the adversity within our gates and hold up the mirror, crying out to the world, shouting, we guard the loneliest. Therefore, we pledge today on this day and bind ourselves to one another as flesh and blood, embracing one another in the lowliest time of our life, keeping company with our loneliest, and we educate our illiterate. We also feed our starving and clothe our ragged and do good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. We are, in fact, our brothers and sisters, and we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. Don't forget that. In honor of those who toil in the toilless God, golden tongues, and gratitude to the same God we brought to this earth, he brought us out of this hopeless desolate. We make this pledge saying that we will bond to flesh and blood and we will not bond to hardware. We will do for one another. If I am to have good success, my brother and sister will be passed on that same good success. We bond ourselves to one another, and we are each other's keepers, and we are each other, flesh and blood. And when blood calls, blood answers. I want to thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for going all the way with Omi today. Being a part of this show is a choice, I know. And I know you didn't have to be here, but thank you for being a part, sharing this word with me today. I hope you learned something. I hope I've been a servant to you today. I hope I've been able to grant you the privilege of coming in this room to voice your opinion. But I want to thank you for letting me be myself again today. I said thank you for letting me be myself again today. Thank you. Here's to this flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hopes in its future bright Africa has ever seen. We're here in this red of it. The great nation shall know of it in time to come. Red blood will flow of it. Historian will surely write of it, this great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 years of back of it, whose destiny surely depends on it. The red, black, and green of it, the flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young man, I want you to dream of it. Face will be shot and shelled of it, and the maiden shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, ladies and gentlemen. Colors brought and pole of it, please, it's certainly my soul with it, irregardless of what has been told of it. Now, thanks to God just for giving it this great flag of mine. And I want to send three shouts out into the atmosphere, and I want to say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. Baba Booey to you, y'all. Have a great evening, and please stay tuned for the next segments to come on intuitiveness. Are you intuitive? Do you know answers to things? Can you think for yourself? Is your medulla oblongata tapped in? Is your pineal gland working? If not, come on into the Tierra room, and we will aggravate and generate those frequencies so you can get the medulla oblongata and the pineal gland working so you can remember who you once were. Your ancient people, your old people. There wasn't a time when you weren't here. Nobody knows the time when you first came here. Remember, God created himself. He has no known mother or father. He has no known relative or blood kin. So from the oldest ancestor that was born, ladies and gentlemen, remember you can call on your Ori today. He is your Godhead. You can acknowledge him. Call on your Ori. He will help you remember when, way back when, in the ancient times. And don't forget about Ifa. He set up the right hand. And Oromola, the African prophet. Don't forget these things that Omi taught you. Because Oromola is the prophet for the Africans. And we acknowledge all the prophets.
but we must have a prophet and we must have a land base. Don't you let anyone tell you any different. If you're going to be a great people, you must be tied to a land base and you must have yourself a prophet. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I've given you your prophet. Don't forget to acknowledge him. And don't forget to tell somebody about Oromola and tell him about him sitting at the right hand of God and knowing the inception of man. He knows your inception. He knows your purpose and why you came. If you don't know why you came and you're trying to tap in and say, God, what is my purpose? What am I here for? Call on Oromola. Call on Oromola. Call on Oromola today, people. And Oromola, being at the inception of God, he knows your purpose. He will reveal to you. Go and be in peace. Go and be in peace, and I will see you tomorrow, same time, same place. I hope you're up for it, ladies and gentlemen, because Omi's in rare form. And when you got Omi in her rare form, we don't need a guest. I'm more than a guest. I brought the ancestors with me. Omi Inca 7 and the tribe is bringing the ancestors in. You don't know what may show up tomorrow because the ancestors is going to bring the spirit. And if you want to be with the Spirit, tap into it tomorrow and be a part of it. You're welcome here. You're certainly welcome. And I want to thank you for all that you've done in supporting this room. Know that you can come in and speak anytime. Caucasian, European, come in and speak. Ask questions. We are training and educating. We want you to be a part. Africans, if you're lost and don't understand something, come in the room and ask questions. Omi emails you all the time and invite you. Why don't you drop by? Drop by tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you. It would be great to have you here. I want you to have a great evening, ladies and gentlemen, and take care of yourself and love yourself. And I say on that note, again, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and have a great evening. Oh, Donald.